Good evening. Thanks, Lauren. That's quite an introduction. So I just want to thank Oren, too, for kind of setting the stage, and that was, I thought that was very appropriate, your thoughts on the way that we have a kind of a illustration right there in the Bible, just exactly how things have been processed back then, and they were human there like we are here. And so just want to say we do welcome you and just welcome the opportunity to get together with you in this way. As you can tell, kind of cozy up here. This building was built before feasibility ideas came up, probably. But there's a couple reasons why we have the committee up here. One is I don't like to be up here alone. And the other is you can see the response of the committee and you can tell who the committee is. This committee is more or less kind of hidden in the community. Occasionally it rears its head. And we thought it would just be helpful for us to be up here. The last month or so, there's a lot of information that's come your way in your mailboxes on paper. And so I don't know if you've been keeping up with it or not, assuming you have. And we've tried to write on paper some of the things that we have been processing and thinking about. And it reminded me of what someone had said. If you write someone a letter, you have communicated. But if you go and visit a person, you start building a relationship and a rapport with that person, and then you get a better understanding what he wrote about. And that somewhat, in essence, says where we're coming from this evening. We do want to connect with you in a personal way and try to get you some information that will be helpful. I know on paper you can read into things that you kind of wonder, where is the committee coming from? Why are they saying this? And all our processing, it's hard to put everything on paper. So I hope that as we are together and you hear us talk, gives a deeper, a better understanding of where we're coming from. And I'm standing here. I'm kind of a stranger to some of you. Some of you don't really know me. Even though I've been in the community for 34 years, if I'd ask you where I'd work, you'd say, well, you know where I work and what I do. So that doesn't necessarily say that you know me. And so this is also an effort for you to get to know the committee and how we process thought and a little bit how we process or prioritize some of the needs that the community has. And I'm sure there's a keen interest here of what we've been talking about, because we see probably the most pressing need is the grade school. And also giving you a ground level fellowship hall. So that does directly affect you here. And I feel like you as a church, you as people, have been very gracious in working with this. I don't hear you complaining much. We get into some discussions occasionally. It reminded me of the story of what we can learn from crayons. It says, some are sharp and some are pretty. Some are dull while others are bright. Some have weird names, like me. But we have to learn to live in the same box. And you've adjusted to live in the same box. Made adjustments here, made adjustments there. And you're making it work. And we thank you for that. Back in 99, when the committee was formed, I think the grade school was a high priority for us to just pursue that. See if there's a facility in the community that possibly fit our needs or becomes available. Are we interested? Well, we are still in the school, the grade school especially, is very much in a temporary stage. So after a lot of processing. This is where it ended up. Didn't know how long. And by the way, I do want to say that you thought the committee went totally dormant on you. It did. If you'd look carefully, why, when they changed chairmanship, why, things just kind of came to a screeching halt. You'll probably hear about this from the former chairman. So we have been active since April. Even during that quiet area where we were not necessarily having meetings, we had kind of decided to just sit back and observe and just see how things will shake out, which we did. The economy was kind of had kind of a downspin on the economy, and we saw the state school budgets becoming tight, and the legislators were working on that, and even the school boards were trying to economize, and they talked about closing certain facilities, and which they did one, and we didn't think it was the right one. However, if the Lord wants us to have that, why, we certainly want to be open to that. But it does merit some of these questions. When do we restart processing our thoughts of providing a permanent place for a grade school? And that is where basically we're coming from, is a grade school. You will hear some in the speeches this evening. You'll hear, and you saw it in the minutes, Orrin read some of it. You know, we get into the discussions of the bigger picture. We don't know for sure how the Lord will lead us into those areas. We might use some terms of phasing, phase one, two. I don't know if that's a proper term, but we kind of wonder whether, you know, is it time to be thinking about providing a permanent place for a grade school? And as we pondered this as a committee, we thought, well, how do we? The chairman was not wanting too many public meetings, but you know, if you want to connect with people, you're going to have meetings like this. We don't know of a better way to communicate to you than to start this way and have individual meetings with the churches. We could have a lot of coffee breaks, a lot of time with you all. I don't know. We're all busy, and how much time do you take to flush out feelings and ideas? But we did inquire with the ministers, and their input was expressed to give support for their vision is for the schools. I think there's some diversity of ideas with that. We recognize that, and I trust that some of that will flush out as we have these discussions. I do want to tell you that we will kind of go through our little spiel. By now we're getting tired of hearing each other's speeches, but we try to give the same message to each church. But after we're done, hopefully that kind of engages your mind, gets you up to speed, and informs, if you have questions, let's have some dialogue this evening. So if I'm not too long-winded, we'll get there. But I will just want to say that we hope these small meetings do give us an opportunity to get to know each other, and you understand where the committee is, what it's wrestling with, and we do want to provide a safe place for you to share your ideas. So with that plea, I tell you a little bit how the evening plans to unfold here. Vern Miller will be giving us some background, and for the age that he has more background than the rest of us, so we'll kind of let him take care of that. Lauren Kiffer will then give us a little bit more on some of the needs, the visions that we've been talking about, and this will also engage the bigger picture, but keep in mind we're focused on a grade school, so you'll hear some of that so you can divide that out. Marvin will then give us some projected utility costs, providing we would build a facility. The reason we included this is questions had come up in our own minds, as well as some of you thought that'd be helpful to put a little practicalness in this, in our information giving to you. And then Gary will kind of do a question and answer, and we're up here to help each other. So With that, I'll kind of turn it over to Vern.
Good evening. I guess it's good to be here. We're glad you're here, so we have somebody to talk to. The feasibility committee was appointed and organized clear back in 1999, 13 years ago. We've had quite a few meetings during this time, and I feel that it has paid off. We've had a number of projects that we've undertaken, and with all the projects that we have undertaken, we haven't heard a lot of complaints. And I think that one of the reasons for that is because we had meetings like this. We wanted to hear from you. We wanted to know what the community wanted, and that's what we wanted. So we don't regret having started, stopped, started, and stopped. In fact, in 99, we stopped. We elected a new chairman, and we didn't do a thing for 3 years.
2009,
right. Yeah, correction there. So we didn't do a thing for 3 years, except before you swallow that all the way, let me explain that we were waiting to see what happens at the academy and also raise some more funds. So we sort of think we have some answers on that now. And okay, you do see the committee up here this evening. We also had several other members involved in these on this committee, and among those was Sam D., Stan Nisley, LaVon, and David L. Early on were part of the committee. On January 2nd, 2002, I suppose many of you remember that day, we broke ground to start the addition over here for Center. We had a lot of meetings up until that time, and we wrestled with floor plans. I don't know how many of you remember the little scale model we made of Center Church, and we made another scale model of what might be a school building, and people were carrying that thing around trying to attach it somewhere onto this building. And it seems like nothing really came together, sort of gave up on that idea. We sought some outside help. We listened to some of the ideas that you folks had. We put some of our ideas together, and here's what we have. A 4,320 square foot addition on the center. That project began in January of 2002 and was completed in early summer. The people had a mind to work, and it worked. Next on the agenda was the Choice Books situation over at the big shop building. It seemed to have some conflicts. There was the shop classes were there, clothing, what they did with clothing there. What are some of the other, canner? And they all tried to work together, but it didn't work real well. But you know, we had an easy fix on that because Choice Books had their own funds, their own finances. So they built a building, and it was taken care of. And that relieved a lot of things there, some pressures that were there. On March 27, 2006, we asked for a meeting with the ministers of all three churches. And some of the issues that were discussed, and one of the The primary thing was that it is definitely a priority that Arlington go ahead with the project, either add on to their church, remodel that, or build new. That was up to them. Some of the other issues that we discussed with the ministers was location for a school, and some of the issue that came up, are we planning for expansion, classroom sizes, and has staff been asked for input? Another issue was, what is the trend? What direction are people moving to? And what shall we consider, or should we consider, location in light of the location of the cemetery, where we all end up at? Another one, should the school be adjacent to one of the churches or a neutral location? We did ask for a report from the ministers, and we got report from all three churches. I think I'll just quickly read this, but keep in mind this was written in 2006. So this was, what, 6 years ago. To the feasibility committee, this letter is in response to the joint meeting we as ministers had with you on March 27th. First of all, we would like to express our appreciation for the time and effort that all of you have been giving to this committee. It was obvious that you had done your homework before the meeting. Thanks. We discussed the proposal of a neutral site and felt generally positive about that idea. We could encourage this proposal to move forward with the idea of it being a location somewhat central to the community on a hard surface road. All the ministers liked the phasing concept compared to the all-in-one building, both from a financial standpoint as well as addressing needs. There's a little bit of reservation on the team about the immensity of the financial need for a building project like this. Not that we aren't in favor of it, just some concern. Some questions were raised by individual members of the ministry that we would like to pass on to you. How much consideration was given to adding the high school in phase two and the auditorium in phase three? Something to discuss with the school board, how cost-saving would it be if the grade and high school were together from an administrative standpoint? Would adding a second story to the grade school for the high school be cost-effective? Would the initial cost be substantially more? Would closing it in and later finishing it out be less or more costly than adding the high school in the third phase? We realize you may have wrestled with a lot of these questions already and ask for your patience if it feels that you have already dealt with these. Thanks again for your work. May God give us all wisdom as we continue to seek His will in this venture. The Center Ministers. Okay. On August 16th, then, in 2006, we called an all three churches meeting. Object of the meeting was to discuss or to focus on location and concept. Also wanted to look at the funding and the timing. We moved on. The Arlington Church was built then in 2008, but according to some minutes, the first minutes, Ollie was secretary, was 5 years earlier, 2003. They already started having meetings and to see what to do. And of course, the first idea was they're going to build on one, either north side or south side of the old Arlington Church building. We worked on that for quite a while, tried to come up with a plan. And finally, that was laid down. It seemed like the Lord closed the door there, and now they have the new church facility. That's what came out of that. So by taking time, I think they are all happy with what they have there now. And so with time, things fell into shape. Then on February 15th, we floated a survey. Do you support moving ahead with building a grade school? We had an 86% voted yes, 14% voted no. The location preference, we had four tracks there. Mass track received 8 votes, Wagler track was 12, the Pierce track was 129, and 19 said, keep on looking. Another question was, can you support acquiring 10 acres, 8 acres from Pierce for $32,000 plus 2 acres donated? Of these respondents, 140 or 82% voted yes and 24 or 18% voted no. Then on March 10th, 2009, Clinton Pierce signed papers to sell. And on this issue, Clinton told us at that signing, told me, I'm not sure who all was there, but if we'd have waited, Cameron would not have sold us that ground. It was being turned over to Cameron, but Clinton says he will sell. And so we're not quite sure what to make out of that, with the Lord taking care of that, providing a place for us. Cameron is renting, cash renting the farm ground now for $50 an acre. Now we've come a step further than we have been at any time on any meetings. We have purchased the ground, so that is sort of settled. Now the question is, how do we develop that ground? Maybe you can help us on that. This is a layout of the plot. Early on, we were advised, don't buy too small. It's easier to sell off than to buy more. So we decided maybe the 10 acres would be something to work towards. This spring, though, we had some surprises. One day, we saw two rows of flags going down across that property, sort of sprang out of the ground all at once, yellow flags. And then another day or two later, there was earth moving equipment moved in. We thought, what is going on? Upon investigating, they said, well, we sent you notice. Well, it got mailed, but neither Cameron nor any of us got that notice. But anyhow, we found out they have the right of way to get in and work on their gas line anytime that they want to or need to. What had happened, occasionally they will send a pig or a hog, or I don't know, there's much difference, but anyhow, they send this down the line and it does a test. There's little fingers on it and these keep knocking on the side, and it tells them how thick that wall is, whether it's getting thin or about to erupt or whatever. And it also gives them exact location where that pig, I think, is. And then they know where they need to dig up and repair. So we had, the people were very nice to work with. They said, as far as they're concerned, it doesn't interfere with what we're going to do, except they do have some guidelines. We need to stay at least 50 feet away with a building, with any building, from a gas line. And it's interesting what they call a building. As we looked at this, we sort of thought maybe the ball diamond should be clear out here at the corner, sort of going across the gas line. They said, okay, the ball diamond is all right, but the infield is a building. So we did some calculating there, and this is on a scale of 1 inch is 100 feet. Did some calculating, okay, we're 50 feet away. The infield is 50 feet away from the line. So that's okay. Now we're wondering, where do we place any buildings? I've got a little card here that is to scale, and Stan helped us design a floor plan for just a standalone school, and it came up with a 56 by 112. Someone volunteer to come up and place this where you'd like to see it built? Well, I sort of had the idea that maybe it would be somewhere out here towards the road, and it might be turned this way. Then, when I showed this the other evening, they said, well, they're thinking maybe it should be further back here. Then you could add to it if you wanted to add any building to it. If it were further back, you'd have more room, more flexibility to do so. So we've got a good bit of room. We need playground area. We need parking. The lagoon, we sort of thought naturally the lagoon should go back here in the corner in this triangle. Okay. That's sort of the end of my presentation. I would entertain some questions or thoughts, comments that you would have. Okay, good question. I should have pointed that out. The road is out here. This is our acre here, our residence.
Push it up a little bit.
There you go.
Okay. This is where I plan to sleep tonight. And this is Dean Road out here. And this is the acre that we would like to keep, giving away 2 acres here and making a total of 10 acres then.
Vernon, would it be good to admit that we knew there was a gas line, there were gas lines there. We were just kind of surprised that suddenly they were there to...
Yeah. We were aware of the gas lines when we bought that. And like I said, it was sort of a disappointment, but we did not see any red flags. We saw yellow flags. We'll be happy to visit with you about this, any part of it, after the service tonight or whenever. But unless you have some questions, I'll... Okay, Joseph.
Did the gas company make any distinction on what? I just wondered if the
gas company made any distinction on what type of building got built there. Whether a residence or a school or a business, is there any consideration or any difference made?
I'm not sure whether a residence or a school, you know, would make any difference, but any type of building that gets close, they do take note of that. And that was what they did over at Melvin Harrell's property there too, because it was close to the school, why they did run a test there.
Would the assumption be that they could tear up the infield or the outfield anytime they needed to if the pig found some leaks or something?
Yes. Okay. If there seems to be a problem, they detect a problem, they will have the right to come in and dig up.
And what's their level of responsibility in terms of restoration after an event like that?
They have recently sent, and I have not seen a copy. I don't think Edward is here tonight, is he? Edward's been receiving the mail and hasn't forwarded it, so we weren't getting that. But he told me that they recently wrote a letter asking if they did excessive damage to the last time they were in there, that they would want to make it right. So what we've not experienced
anything along that line, I don't know what they would do. David?
They made a big mess in Melvin Harrell's field. I just wondered what they would do. But they assured Melvin that they would straighten things up, which they appear to have done a good job.
Yeah, Melvin says they did a nice job of leveling it off, and he was able to plant oats or something in there then. And so I think he received a check, though, just for letting them come in and the damage they did. But we haven't received any money for what they did on the 10 acres. Okay, thank you.
A businessman was hurrying to work one morning, and as he was hurrying down the street, he glanced sideways and noticed a beggar sitting there. So he quickly reached in his pocket so he could give him something, only to discover that he had nothing in his pocket. So he stopped and went over to the beggar, and he said, "My brother, I am sorry, I have nothing to give." The beggar said, "You have given me much more than any amount of money. You called me brother." So I'm thankful tonight that we can be a brotherhood to look at an issue like this. Makes all the difference. Vision. Vision is the ability to perceive something not actually visible. So it's what we're looking at tonight. We're perceiving something that is not actually visible at this point, which means it can still be formed, can still be tweaked, can be changed. And that will happen as we have input from everyone. Everyone's input is important. There's a Chinese proverb that says, if your vision is for 1 year, plant wheat. If your vision is for 10 years, plant trees. If your vision is for a lifetime, plant people. So I think we fit into the last category. And when we think of school, we might say, well, the people are already planted, but there's still a lot of nurturing to do. So it's a concern for all of us, whether we have young children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, or generations in the future. Our vision is for, maybe we could say, not only a lifetime, we could add it's for, it goes on into eternity, doesn't it? So how do we plant people? How do we nurture people? And we're talking about that as it relates to school. What should we do? How can we improve? Should we improve our present situation? And if so, how can we? And that's what our discussion needs to be about. And as Oren pointed out, vision will vary from person to person, but we're in this together, so we want to come to a good conclusion. And by everybody feeling free to share their thoughts, surely that can happen. Vision can be clarified, it can take form. So the first focus, or maybe we could say the most pressing need that would seem to be here for us is simply the temporary school setup here at Center. I guess it was looked at as a temporary situation from the beginning. And number two, to make room for our fellowship hall or time together on a ground level, something that would accommodate all ages of people better than the situation we have now. Those are probably two of the main concerns, most pressing needs. And second to that would be looking on into the future thinking of possibilities of expansion. So we don't want to think of building a grade school without keeping in mind that more could be added, such as a community building. What would we use a community building for? Weddings, funerals, youth group functions, fundraisers and large church gatherings, ministers' meetings, family reunions, and I'm sure you could name more. And then a high school is also a part of the consideration, possibly somewhere down the road, but that's all in the big picture. So I hope that you have your thoughts ready to give when the time comes.
It's nice to be at home after spending a couple of evenings at Cedar Crest in Arlington. I'm glad to be here. It has been mentioned that Center has lots of older people, and I want to say I am glad for all the older people that we have here. I think aging population that we have has lent a lot of stability to Center. And for all of you who consider yourselves older, I thank you for your part in that. It's also been mentioned that we haven't heard a lot of grumbling from the people at Center as we share the facility with the grade school, and there's not been a lot of grumbling about the steps that we have to go when we have fellowship hall and the kitchen facilities that we have presently. There's not been a lot of grumbling, and I thank you for that too. I think that is commendable. I think it is admirable that we can make do with what we have. But our job here as a committee is to look at the needs of the churches, and that's what we're doing tonight. So if you think, well, you haven't heard much complaining, we think that's not because there's not a need. So I've been given the responsibility to look at utility costs. We want to know, what is this building that we're thinking about, what will it cost? How will the utility costs at Center change if we take the schools out of the buildings for 5 days? And there's only church here. So I've listed some information here. And by the way, those of you who are interested can pick up. There's copies in the back. After the meeting, you can pick up a copy if you don't understand everything that went on here. The first thing we did was we looked at Center and Cedar Crest, their comparative sizes, and the average annual utility costs for gas, phone, and electricity over the past two fiscal years that we had records for, 9-10 and 10-11. And that cost in both cases came to right at 70 cents a square foot. And then we wanted to compare Cedar Crest and Arlington. Arlington is on Midwest Energy electricity, and the costs for Midwest Energy are somewhat higher. So rather than take the costs, we took kilowatt hours and compared kilowatt hours with the comparative sizes. Now, Jake last night said, well, yes, the Arlington building is 6,000 square feet, but we heat the upstairs and the downstairs both, heat and cool. And so it could be closer to 12,000 square feet. So at any rate, this figure that shows that the average kilowatt hours is 77% of the kilowatt hours used at Cedar Crest. And so that is probably fairly conservative the savings would probably be somewhat more than 23%, like I'm projecting, if Center were to be taken out of, if the Pilgrim Grade School were to be taken out of the building, and we wouldn't have to heat and cool that to the same extent. But for this comparison, I have said that the costs would drop around 23%, which is $2,100 a year. As shown above here, the annual average cost for Center and Cedar Crest is 70 cents a square foot. And so it's estimated, let's see here, with a grade school facility of 6,500 square feet, this would be about $4,550 per year. For reference center, the learning center at the high school or at Cedar Crest is about 5,000 square feet, and the new addition is about 5,350. I got some bad numbers, but so I also think that it's not unreasonable to think that with modern construction costs and insulation and high efficiency heating and cooling and those kinds of things, that the actual utility costs could be much less than what we've projected. But even with if we take the $2,100 a year that we spend at Center that I project that we're not going to spend, I realize it's two different pockets. One is the Pilgrim pocket and one is the Center's pocket, but the reduction here at Center can be calculated into there, and so the difference would be about $2,450, and I am very confident that those are conservative estimates. So in the Pilgrim Schools budget, this is an increase of less than 1%, or about a dollar per wage earner per month, like we normally calculate it. And we can say, can we afford that? I would certainly say that where the vision is here, an increase of $1 per month should be affordable. Are there any comments about comparison?
Now, you folks have been very patiently listening and sitting. Would you rise with me? Let's sing, Come Bless the Lord.
Come bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, which stand by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the holy place and bless the Lord, and bless the Lord.
You may be seated. Brothers, it is special to come together to look at these things that we've been presenting. And I say brothers with some meaning too. I'm thankful that you folks know the Lord, and I'm very thankful that many times I've observed you brothers knowing how to engage properly in discussion. So now you've heard our presentation on some background and vision. And while we don't have anything concrete or very specific in proposal, it's now your turn. What would you bring to the discussion? What would you bring out in question or discussion tonight? We may not have all the answers, but things that are on your mind, and we realize that some of the things will probably come on out in further thinking and discussion afterwards. So all of that's valuable, and we are here to hear you. Who would be first? Yes, Nathan.
A little mention was made tonight, and I noticed in the minutes as well that he had met with the ministry of the three churches together. And the minister mentioned that, you know, different observations were discussed. I was wondering if it would be possible to have some elaboration on what some of those observations were. Or if that, maybe that's not prepared for that tonight, that's fine if you aren't.
I'm not really prepared to do a very good, thorough job. As you can imagine, when we get together with 15 or so of us, that there would be a variety of things brought up. So I'm going to just say I'm open to anybody bringing anything up that you remember or that you personally want to bring up. Yes.
One thing that's been characteristic of all this is that we were very community conscious, trying to keep the community together rather than to create a situation that would compromise that ideal. But and it seems to me that if we build, that we would want to preserve that. There was one thing that came up when the ministers were together that I would want to respond to a little bit. And we do have homeschoolers, we have classroom schoolers, and we've had a peaceful coexistence. But then if there's a young family that would see this as a major financial burden for them to carry their full load in the expansion and the building project, I would like to vote that we don't put them under undue obligation. And some of us who don't have school children anymore should be able to compensate for that sort of thing. So I'd have some concern that we don't approach the funding in a way that is inappropriate for it, for the circumstances.
Thank you for getting us started here, well, to keep us going. Thank you, Nathan, for getting us started. Any other? Yes. Excuse me. Yes, we have certainly been hearing a lot and trying to advance all of our building programs basically as we have funds. And we know sometimes we may break ground with funds still coming, the last part maybe, but that's something that we have heard from you, and I think we as a community value. Someone else?
Just to comment on Marvin's figures, and I know it's a pretty small part of the picture because the capital investment is the big part. But did you calculate as well that since Arlington is a more recent building, that the energy costs there are probably lower than they are at either of these two?
No, and I will readily admit that these are estimates, and I was commissioned to come up with some rough ideas. We didn't want to find out that we were tens of thousands of dollars off.
Well, so one thing that your comment might bring to this is if Jake's comment was that it could actually be lower because of, your comment would possibly bring us back to let's not get too optimistic about going to 40 or 50% or whatever. We admit these are estimates. Anybody else? Yes, Marvin.
Just to help us get a picture of what the building might look like and the phases, like right now you're talking about is a 50 by 120 or whatever, so that would be about 6,000 square feet, which would be about the same size as the three churches, each of them, and then, if I'm not correct, then tell me. And then also the phases would then... It would be built so there could be possibly a gym. This is not a gym, right? It's just a school facility. And then you can add on in phases as the funds would be available or the need arises. Or do you have any comments about that?
Yes. It depends partly on what the community feels about the phasing concept. But if we truly start with what is on the table, that would be the order that we would have been thinking. It is possible that we could say, well, let's continue to raise funds and let's combine some phases also. But I said that just in response to you kind of personally. It's not something that we've put on the table actively. Sanford?
It just occurs to me, and I don't know what these dates would look like, but another building project that was done here in the community was the Birth and Women's Center. And as I'm mulling some of this over, I know one of the biggest obstacles I think we face in this discussion is just the cost of what a project like this puts on the table. It may be interesting to know, and I don't know if there's a way to quickly pull these numbers together, but do we have any kind of a number for the total amount of building projects that have been accomplished here in, say, the last 10 years to give us a feel for what we've actually accomplished? I know we look at these things kind of as little pieces at a time. Mm-hmm. You know, when you add Arlington Church, the addition on Center, the Birth and Women's Center, et cetera, I don't know where those numbers go, but in my head, that very quickly hits $500,000 or more. Might be helpful to have a picture of what that has looked like.
Mm-hmm. Well, anybody help me? I happen to be project treasurer for the Center Edition, and my memory is that it would have been around $175,000 to $180,000 for the cost. Do you remember anything? So Myron and Vernon are coming up with $355 here for Arlington. So you're right that we would be at $500,000 or a little more on those two. And then we didn't fund the Choice Books facility. Somehow $85,000 runs in my mind there. Do you have anything on the Choice Books? I mean, it's a little different. We didn't raise those funds, so I'm not sure how much to emphasize that. But
I don't have a figure.
Yeah. Well, if somebody has anything, some of you may have been board members on that. If you want to speak, fine. If not, let's not make that a big issue. That's right. And I don't know about the Birthing Center's dollars either. Just
$175,000.
About half would have come from this constituency. Yes, Paul.
If I'm speaking out of my turn, just tell me so. I realize I'm kind of a latecomer and just moved in here in the last 4.5 years. So if I understand right, you're saying that the decision is definite as far as moving the facility. I didn't know in light of the economy, I see the budget struggles of meeting this budget the last several years, and I sense, maybe I'm sensing wrong, but I thought I sensed that Arlington is struggling a bit in giving their support. Then I wonder, is it the right time to build? Are there ways to creatively look at the needs otherwise again? And if, as I said, I know this is kind of out of the blue here, so if I'm saying something, you know, I'm just asking these questions honestly because they were on my mind.
Sure. So. Well, I can't speak for, I'm not the answer man. I can just speak for myself here. Arlington has been clear through their building project and since, including very recently again through the ministers and through laity that responded last night, that they are committed to helping with this grade school phase. They so deeply appreciated, I mean funding, and they so deeply appreciated the community's help in what they went through recently that they felt this was something that they would want to support. Now, if you've heard something more, maybe you've heard some of the parents are asking questions about should they have their own school. Those kinds of things are to be admitted. So one doesn't know for sure where they're going to go. And you help us now. All of you help us. You know, he's bringing things up. You help us to weigh what he's asking. Yes, Conrad.
I guess as being a young father, finances, it seems like the money likes to disappear. And I support the school, when I think of perhaps increase of the need for funding, I have to say, you know, I kind of wonder. I guess my question is, if there's not enough people who can support actively, will that also hinder any thoughts of outreach? Because we would feel we need as many people as we can to help, you know, support. Maybe it's a very dumb question I'm asking.
No question is dumb.
And the other question I would have is, I appreciate it, you said you haven't heard any complaints. I was wondering, if it works now, is it necessary to do it, or if we can make so that it works? Has the need been specified by the Center Church as a need, or is this something that you just have seen as a need?
Well, every time that I go through the food line for my father, who gets to sit up here at a table at Carrion's, then I'm aware of a need. And when I think about that age population, that also maybe one of their great needs is fellowship. And I know of a few that sometimes just go home instead of staying for Carrion's. What we're looking at, brothers, I'm hearing a young father say, "Think about my pocketbook." And I really want to do that, Conrad. But we also are thinking about our children, and we're also thinking about our older people. So those are the things that we're looking at as we consider these things.
I certainly agree that with the concern with the elderly. And when I mentioned that, I feel we should try to address that as a church. I would be thrilled if we would put up a number of tables up here that we could divide equally, you know, between, that we could provide good fellowship for them rather than letting them up here alone. I would thoroughly enjoy that and support that. I think that was my question. Could we creatively look at other solutions rather than saying we're going to neglect them? That was my question.
That's right. Good thought. And work it on the way up, because Benji's had his hand up too, but go ahead.
Yeah, I intercepted it here. Do you have any numbers together for this size building and the amount of money in the building fund currently for a 50 by 120 school building? Or is that not?
Well, see, that deserves a couple of answers, and there are others here that can help us. But we understand that in the various building funds of the three churches and the facilities fund of the school, that there's right at $300,000. I mean, that's, some of that floats a bit, and we this week didn't even have all the treasurers at hand to just get it to the minute. But that's approximately right. So we're not sure if it might take $350,000 for the first phase or what. Vernon, what have you thought?
All I'm going to say on that is, I've told the committee that we don't want to get into the building phase at this point. Been through this a time or two, and I see us as a committee, we start thinking building in our minds, and then our discussions kind of gravitate toward that. So we've kind of left that discussion because we wanted to come to you, tell you a little bit what we have been considering, and out of that come the discussions for building. Now, Marvin had, we had some questions we had to kind of come up with. That's why Marvin did what he did and thought, well, that gives a little perspective. But the process that we kind of see us to go through with this before we do anything would be, well, we have this meeting. This is our third meeting, one for each of the churches. We have a scheduled joint meeting next week. And you're looking at someone that doesn't really know how to put that together yet. But we will probably compile the feedback on this, what we get from each church. And out of that, we'll form our outline for that meeting with basically hearing from you. Don't know that we have a big, that I see us coming up and say, boy, we're going to need to do this and this and this. I can see us kind of looking at the responses and trying to accumulate our information and say, you know, this is what it is, and kind of come to you with that and look at our funds that we have, said about around $300,000, and try to, out of that meeting next week, possibly determine, well, are we ready for a ballot? You know, that as much as we try to reach or get a feel for how everybody feels about this, there's no way that we can get that done in one night. Although we learn as much after a meeting as we do during the meeting, as we mingle with you all. So we're taking notes as we do that also. And then if anything develops, I can see us maybe working on a ballot, floating a ballot of some kind. And as much as I love these public meetings, you know, we might have to have another public meeting. I don't know. But I'm speaking for myself and as a committee here. The building questions, we're really not prepared to know how to answer that. We've gone through this a couple of times, but kind of refrained from those kind of discussions this time. Maybe that was bad on my part, but I felt like it does change our thinking when we start thinking building. And now we're in concept and asking questions along with you. I realize as a committee somewhere we have to step up and guide and help us. The other thing that we need to keep in mind that we are actually subject to the church leaders here. This committee is, and we have a couple of leaders on the committee, but those steps will have to be cautiously walked through. I sound like a politician, don't I? Well, I just want to...
If anything, you help us appreciate politicians and their task a little bit more, don't you?
There's a lot of variables, too, in how we build. Yeah. That can make a big difference. Joseph.
Yes, Joseph.
Well, the reason I ask that is in our current economy, I think it would be wise to have most of the funds available if we want to build. That's the reason I ask those questions. My other concern is, do we really want to build on a property with pipelines running through it and making sure that we know exactly what they expect or what can be built on there? Do they make a distinction having a school there or having just a single-family residence? Is there any kind of distinction there?
No.
And just making, I guess... That bothers me, I guess, is what it amounts to, having those two pipelines running through.
Yeah, yes.
Actually, he asked my question. I was going to ask about any ballpark figure on the building right now, but you said you're not prepared to answer that, right?
Yes.
one thing that I haven't heard come up. If the classrooms were no longer over here, it would free up quite a bit of space for bigger meetings, particularly funerals. And I'm not saying that should guide us, but I think it's good to be aware of that.
That's right.
This is more from someone who's been teaching in this facility the last 6 years. I have not heard any of my co-teachers, and I have not felt this, complaining about the temporary facilities. I see them as a good thing. I think it's good when our students have to make do. I think it's good when they have to play outside, even if they would rather be inside in a nice place. So we do not mind these facilities. But what I'm hearing you all saying is the problem isn't so much from the grade school's perspective as from trying to work with the same facilities as the church, and just the fact that we as a grade school do need some specialized stuff that you would rather be out of here. Open areas over here and kitchen facilities and that sort of thing. So I think I'm just wanting to make public that we teachers are happy with the facilities you all have provided with for us, and we will cheerfully take what you give us and be happy with it, honestly.
And that's pretty typical of what we sense in the church at large, even if ushers will mention to us what they face and so on at times. So, and I see him smiling as I say it. Go ahead, Josh.
I realize this question may be several years early, but I was just wondering what you have in mind for the community center in phase three. And I was wondering what that would offer that the Amish community building doesn't.
Well, there would be a number of things that would probably be there. The size would be big enough, hopefully, for what you young people like to have your socials in. That currently, I understand, are costing $60 to $70 a night. And I don't know for sure if you young folks would like to cut that in half and make a contribution to the budget of whatever's running there and feel good about a savings and still a contribution, or for sure what the community should decide on that. Again, this is a long ways down the road, potentially, but let's see, what other aspects? What would it provide? It would provide, hopefully, for some of these fundraisers like Cedar Crest has been involved with, the Haiti fundraisers. It's not that this thing needs to be the tail that drives the donkey or the wags the dog or however. I'm just mixing my metaphors. What else? Others can, you know, I'm not the answer man. Anybody else has something else? Yes, Paul.
Could I just throw in, the, in addition to the Amish building, the Journey at Yoder?
Yeah.
With that.
Yeah.
That facility as well.
Yeah.
Well,
there we get into some interesting things. And remember, we're really not quite ready for that one. But let me just, while you bring up Maranatha, that hall is being rented for receptions when it is rented. Right now, the going rate is $1,000. And there are different ways to do this. Folks, if we really choose to make do, we could have weddings right here and the reception at the community building. So we know there are those choices. We don't have to go there. But we also know that we sometimes like to. And if you add in any other facility rental, which some have chosen to have the wedding and the reception there, you can get the wedding costs up to $1,300 to $1,500, which you're going to help weigh somewhere along the line here. If we were to put something up that would we like to keep paying those kinds of rental rates so that it helps on the maintenance and whatever, however else we figure the budget? Or would we rather help each other cover all of that and not have it hit the pocketbook
of those that are members anyway, or somewhere in between. But like, again, I say that's a question for the down the road. Yes.
We keep talking about funding. I guess my personal view is if the community has the vision for it, the funds will probably be available. Probably the bigger question for me is, frequently have referred to the need for the grade school, and I guess in my mind, I'm still not sure that I would call it a need. In my mind, it's probably looking at more of a convenience thing, mm-hmm. And so I guess that's where I need to be convinced yet.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for the contribution and for the smile. I extend the same. Yes, Danny.
I would say as an usher, as you mentioned, I definitely feel a need. When we need to pull down an entire classroom to make room for an evening for a large service, that kind of thing, we can do it. And we don't need to do it often. But it is something that that we do deal with, and we feel kind of cramped sometimes.
Hey, first responding to that, as an usher, I'd much rather do that than spend the money elsewhere, but I have nothing against what you had to say, Danny, as far as that goes. building a little bit on what Dwight was saying, what we have a vision for, I was thinking about that some too. And I think that's one question I would have. You know, what is the heart of God in this? When you think of spending that amount of money, is this really where God wants us to spend it? I guess one thing I was thinking about is just looking at it globally, both, and that the economic factor was already mentioned, you know, seeing how we know most times of prosperity have not lasted just indefinitely. And in some ways, when we look at the world today and how we're tied together with the rest of the world, it looks like we might be on the downward slope of that. The other is just when you're looking at the heart of God for his kingdom to grow. And just to put it in perspective, there's just one little example, but you know, $300,000 would empower 150 evangelists for 5 years to reach out to the villages around them, potentially reaching between 300 and 700 villages with the gospel. Now, I'm not saying that that's the only place money should go. I'm just saying, wondering, is that also maybe a part of the picture? Where is our vision, as Dwight was saying?
And you were referring to India, maybe?
This is an example from Serve India Ministries, where they have a training program that helps native pastors reach out to unreached villages around them.
I was just wanting to add the detail. Here's a hand up here. There's a hand back there, then, too.
I don't have a lot to add, but I appreciate the varied viewpoints we're hearing tonight. And I think what we're hearing is questions about what are our values and how do we express that in our decision making going forward. And so I guess I would encourage just a lot more dialogue informally and with you brothers, to kind of think about what is the long look for this community, and what are our values, how do we express that, and to take some time to think about that. One thing that's been a long time question for me, I guess, is how we fund schools, and how we do that in a way that bears each other's burdens and also allows, and I'm looking down the road here, us as parents to take our responsibility. And I think those are two values that should be held in tension. And I don't know if this is as good a place as any to think about some of those issues.
Thank you. I don't remember. I saw the hand. Thank you, Caleb, for your contribution.
I might take the chance to make two responses. One was to the phase three that I know is really not part of the core discussion here, but I know there are other ways of thinking about this, and if somebody wanted to, they could probably help me see how this is not really a helpful way to think about it. But I've been thinking about what would happen if somebody would take on a community center like this as a business venture. Is how much would it cost for renting that place to make it work, as opposed to what we pay for Journey at Yoder or Maranath or wherever? Just wondering how that would pencil out. But once again, I know that's phase three. I feel like I'm not in a good position to say, not being on the food committee, not being an usher here, makes me feel like I'm not in a very good position to say, well, we can make it work, we're not feeling it. but I'm wondering, I guess, with some of the others, are there creative solutions where we could kind of add to the ushering crew? I know we've already stepped that up a bit in the last year or two, but could we have a separate, whatever you call it, team or something for dealing with moving things back and forth? And on the schools front, I acknowledge that I'm a complete newcomer there, so I don't have nearly the right to talk that Daryl does, but you know, if it would be things like putting things back in place, I have the room right out here in the overflow. If it'd be things like putting things like that back in place, so the ushers wouldn't have to do it, I'm pretty sure I could energize my class, my students to do so. I don't know what they are. I'm just looking at ways that we could meet the needs for fellowship stuff up here, you know, with some more sweat equity, but that probably it would take a lot of sweat equity here to match the sweat equity of a new place, funds notwithstanding.
I just, a couple things, I guess, on my mind. Seems to me that some of our ideas of how to make work the whole carry-in thing might be just a little bit skewed by our view of the need. Seems to me that it would be ideal, at least from my ideas standpoint, to say that the whole group ought to be together in a carry-in. So, because of that, what dynamic that carries is brotherhood. Maybe I'm wrong, maybe there'll be disagreement, but that's sort of my vantage point. So in that case, we either install an elevator to get the older people downstairs, or we haul the food upstairs from a kitchen that's already very obsolete. My opinion, we have a need. And I'm glad for the sentiment of let's work together and let's make things work. I mean, there is very valuable there. But I guess I'm just throwing in my opinion that we have a need, and it carries cost ramifications one way or the other that I think we should be willing to look at if we don't want to move on the school front. Now, on the school front, I definitely appreciate the school. My daughter now just started second grade this year. It's very limited exposure, but I'm very grateful for a school because I have no vision for homeschooling with our situation, and situations vary. So I'm not slamming that at all, don't get me wrong. But for my situation, I'm very thankful for that. I don't have all the answers on the funding, but certainly hope that those of us that appreciate it and use it can chip in there in a major way. But that's basically just to say, my vision, part of my vision is the school is a very good thing. I mean, we could send our children to public schools. It's been done, and it's being done. And I just admit that when my daughter comes home talking about Bible stories, learning about God, learning how to work together with other people, it builds my vision for the schools. And, you know, we try to teach these things at home too, but there's something positive about a group of children together that reinforces that in a way that even parents don't, I would propose. So the school vision is, I think, front and central to me, for me. And then it appears to me that cost increase, while there will be other things besides electrical increases, to be sure, that's a factor I think that's important to look at. But as far as funding for the school, from my vantage point, it's very conceivable to think that, assuming that, like others have said, the need is actually confirmed in all of our minds, then it seems to me we shouldn't worry about the funding. The economic times notwithstanding, if we get the funds there, I mean, what do we have to lose? Maybe a little simplistic, but a little how I guess I'm looking at it, and hoping that we would pull together on it if we did it. But now, this is one little piece in the puzzle. So if I've stepped on your toes, well, I apologize in advance, but that's, I guess, how I'm feeling right now.
A number of you are reminding me of one contribution that Laverne made at the joint ministers meeting when he recalled that when we had the high school here in the basement of Center and we were coming up with the plans for building Cedar Crest, that one of the fears we had was, how are we going to fund the move to a bigger school? In light of the fact that sometimes the board would make some reports that, hey, we need some more funds. And we surely don't want to get into a runaway deficit kind of spending anywhere, learning it from anywhere. But we also have, I do agree with this, that when God is in the process, I rejoice to report that even those of us that have a little different idea than what carried, that when we see God in the process, that God shows the way. And here's a comment.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I appreciate what you said, Tim, and that those are some of the key issues that are on my mind, and I would agree with what you said.
And there's another. Oh, my, we're going to play popcorn here. Good job.
I have a couple of observations. One is, was it 86% of the people who voted in favor of building, was that 10 years ago or 12 years ago, or when was that?
09. So it's three years ago.
Is it worth revisiting that? Would something have changed a lot? And that's sort of a rhetorical question. I have a couple of comments. One is, you know, I hear people say we really support the school, and then it's sort of like, well, if we're supporting the school, then we should, build a big building, and that would make our school better. And it can, but I want to assure you that a school building is not education, and we've got quite a bit of track record from public consolidations, which shows that getting larger does not make education better. So I hope we're not laboring under sort of false premises like that and thinking that somehow this will make education better to have more and more children in one place. Mm-hmm. And I'm not against building another school. It's just if I want to make sure that we do it for the right reasons and for actually making education better for our children and for us. Human capital is very important in schools, I think more important than infrastructure, I guess is what I'm saying. And then the last thing is, I went to school the last couple years of my career as a grade schooler in a refurbished basement in a church, and it was awful because the paint that was used and the kind of air circulation and stuff was not adequate, and it was just a very unpleasant place for me to be in. And so I'm concerned about the kind of building we put up and that it is something that is, has light and has air to breathe. I'm worried when I hear people say, oh, we can make this really efficient. And sometimes just sort of the important things in life, are good, clean air and enough of it. So those are my comments.
try to pull a bunch of disjointed thoughts together. Kind of interesting listening to Leroy's comments. It's the first time I thought of it that in all of this discussion, I don't think I've heard one. While we're talking about the school, we're not actually talking about solving a school problem. We're talking about solving many other problems by relocating school. In terms of the economics that we see today, I know in previous discussions we've had, there's always concern about, do the economics support this? One of the things I think is easy to go forgotten is that we tend to err and think that somehow tomorrow may be better. We would like to think tomorrow will be better. And so it's easy to say, well, should we today? And one of the questions that goes through my mind as I think about that is, do we only want to have this discussion in the context of a rip-roaring economy? Is that the only place that we would feel comfortable talking about this? You understand where I'm going? We still have family needs. We still have needs that we want to meet for our children. We still have long-term community goals, regardless of what the economy looks like. And I really resonate with what Dwight was saying. I think if this is something the community wants to do, we'll find a way to make it work. And kind of along that line, I'd like to speak maybe some words of comfort to Conrad's comments about how can someone in Conrad's shoes feel good about the financial burden that this may create. As Conrad was talking, I was sitting here suddenly remembering how I felt probably 10, 12 years ago when we first began discussing this. And as I sit here and rolled this around in my mind, I remember that in that time, I remember well, one of those years, I took home $10,000 as my total annual pay as a husband and a father. I don't know how we made that work, but we made it work. And one of the things that I note with interest is that today my financial situation is different. And as I sit here tonight and I hear Conrad say, describe how I felt 10 years ago, I'm reminded that we are having this conversation in the context of more than, say, a handful of people who are talking about how to fund a business. We are a brotherhood, and there are those of us who are in very different financial shoes than we were 10, 20, 50 years ago. And some of us can do more, some of us can do less, but together, I think we can get the job done.
And I think Merle had a hand.
It could go unsaid, but I consider myself conservative in wanting to make do where possible, but one thing that I have not heard mentioned, but which I have long felt, is wishing to separate the school from the church. And this has bothered me from even Whiteville days. I think that the children possibly view this as more of a playground than they should, and that some of the things that happen in the sanctuary and on the grounds on Sundays are probably inappropriate, but because of being here through the school days and it being appropriate, then it feels that way to them on Sundays.
Yes, just a few thoughts. As someone who hasn't lived here all that long, coming from another community, I'm just impressed anew tonight how self-sacrificing you all are. I mean, you're willing to make do. You're willing to put up with, you know, having the carry-ins downstairs, and you know, you're not trying to keep up with Cedar Crest or Arlington. You know, they do have it a lot nicer than we do as relates to food committee and so on. And so I just say seriously, I really appreciate the spirit of being willing to make do and not looking out for what's best for Center. Although this really is it would really be a positive for Center. We probably benefit more from having a new school facility, because it opens up the possibilities here. And so just a few thoughts in relation to that. I'm assuming that just because if we would decide to build a school building, that doesn't mean that a gym has to follow. It doesn't mean that a large community building has to follow. So it's helpful for me to maybe think of just that. And, you know, will the operating costs be that much higher? I don't think that the utility costs are going to be much higher there. So the cost of operating that school, just a simple building like here, as a school, isn't going to add a lot. But then it frees us up to enjoy a facility here that really is friendly to the many older people that we have. And then the other thought, the money that was given, the 300-some thousand that's available now, was given for building fund purposes. So it needs to be used. It should be used somewhere. And so if the money is raised ahead of time, is it really that big of a deal to build that school and then be able to use the facility here in a way that benefits the Center congregation in a better way?
Well, we've looked at a lot of sides here tonight, and that's very positive. There's another one.
I'm just reminded of one comment that I forgot to make in connection with all the discussion about the economy and thinking that maybe tomorrow will be better. I think I'm safe in saying this, that a building committee discussion today in terms of costs will sound somewhat different than it would have 10 years ago. In other words, that the cost 10 years ago looked different from the cost today. The cost today looked different from what cost will be 10 years from now. And of course, then you get into all the nitty-gritty about the valuation of money, et cetera, and how that all works. Those dollar amounts do move. I'm just trying to underscore the idea that we are not necessarily saving money by waiting.
One observation I would make is, regardless of what we do, the outside classrooms that we have currently are to the point where they are going to, they could use a good bit of upgrading, such as siding replacement. I think we're looking at the possibility of some heating and cooling issues, and I think maybe some other things. So whatever part that plays in this discussion, if we do decide to keep going as we are going to have to invest some money to keep it or preserve what we have.
Yes, LaVon.
Well, I would probably tend to be a little more on the conservative side as well, but I was just thinking, probably to be fair, just as far as financially, it's easier for me to say, oh, that's too much money, let's not do it, but on a personal level, do a lot more according than what that's going to cost me for the school. I don't know if that makes sense or not. Like, yeah, does that make sense?
You know, no, I did miss the bridge.
Well, I'm just thinking, it's easy for me to have reservations. I'm feeling a little more conservative as a whole, you know, for making a big expenditure. But just realizing that, to be fair, it's easier for me to make bigger financial expenditures personally, like on my place or at home, that costs a lot more according than what this would cost me to support this school.
Uh-huh. As a young father, my daughter doesn't go to school yet, but I'm looking forward to the time when we can send her to school. And I was sitting here in this building. Center was built 50 years ago. Is that about right?
Yes.
And that generation made a sacrifice. They built the building. They put up the money. And now the second and third generation are enjoying the building. So, you know, if this generation sacrifices the money and the time to build a school, maybe our second or third generation can sacrifice to build something else in their community. So it's something that's going to be in the community. The community is not going to, probably not going to fade or fold up in the next the next 50 years or for the foreseeable future. So, you know, we're building for future generations. We're not just building for one generation, a temporary building. So I would appreciate a new school. So
there are several hands, two Davids.
It won't take long, but I think the cost of this building was a little under $30,000, which is about 10% of what we have on hand now in the building project.
I kind of wish we'd have built the community center then.
Well, I have enjoyed this discussion a lot, and I'm going to refrain from stating many opinions of my own, but what I would like to observe is several things. We've talked about values, and it is interesting to me how that we express value for the same thing in different ways. And I think we see that in, we see it in how some parents choose to homeschool, others choose to send them to school. And there's always a debate as to who values what the most and so forth. I recognize that. But there's two things I observe that I am especially appreciative of this evening. That is that we value children, we value older people. And I think that, I'm not sure who it was, it was Leroy that said that better facilities won't make better schools automatically. I think the same thing is true even about our current situation here. And I would just like to go down the record as saying if there are ways that we can provide for our elderly brothers and sisters, we don't have to wait till we have a new building to do that or till we have access to all of our current building. And so I greatly appreciate hearing from, I think everybody that has spoken this evening is placing their values in the right place. We may not agree on how to get there exactly, but our values, I think, are at the same place. And I think God is honored with that. So much for saying nothing.
Six to 8 years ago, in El Salvador, we were in the process of looking at building a church house. That church house is nothing in size compared to this. The amount of people who regularly meet at that church house is nothing compared to the amount of people. And yet, the money came to build that $20,000 building. And when I look at the amount of people in this church, in this community, I am frankly flabbergasted when I think of, y'all are wondering where the money's coming from? There's so many people here, there's so much money in this community, and if this is what's right for the community, God's gonna tell every last one of us how deep to dig. So I'm encouraged, I guess, by being here and listening to this, and I'm encouraging people. It's not that bad. If someone making $8 a day can help build a $20,000 church, then in comparison, we're capable.
Is there someone else? Well, then I'd like to announce a winner. You folks won the prize for carrying the baton this long. You didn't know that's what we were trying to do? Somebody go get the offering basket. Yes.
I would like to underscore something here that we haven't talked about. I would like to thank the committee and the ministerial teams for all the effort you've put into this and for the foresight that you've demonstrated by starting the funding process a long time ago. The fact that there's $300,000 sitting out there for a project like this really helps shape a discussion like this and drive it forward to success.
Well, then we need to turn that back to all of you that helped put it there. So, yeah, we did it together. Well, brothers, I knew that you knew how to be brothers. I'd seen it before, and I thank you for tonight. I'd like to close with this, if you'll bear this quotation that Myron gave to us the other morning, Tuesday morning in our meeting. He quoted from Genesis 12, "Now the Lord had said to Abram, 'Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house.'" "To a land that I will show you.' So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him." And then he said, Abram was told to go, and he didn't know where, but he had the promise that God was going to show him. I don't know for sure where we're going, but together we're going to explore it and figure it out. And God will show us. I have that confidence. I'm going to ask for Arlen Knisley to lead us in prayer. Wait a minute. Is there something else that needs to be said? I'm going to ask Arlen Knisley to lead us in prayer as we rise.
Tonight we bless you, God, for having been here, for having having led Oren to start us thinking correctly about consensus rather than contention. And I bless you too for working in our hearts so that I sense that that is what all of us are wanting. And so we are choosing to follow you. We're choosing to step out in obedience, trusting that you will show us. I pray a special blessing, an anointing, and wisdom for the committee as they work on compiling all the inputs and preparing for the next meeting. Thanks so much, Lord, for giving us a brotherhood like this. We're not perfect, and we're certainly not all seeing. We're not seeing everything the same way. So there's obviously a difference in perspective. But I bless you that we can work together, and that in this body there is hope for united. Progress toward building your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
You're dismissed.
Sense of conspiracy. I got the most notes for the shortest amount of time. Try to get them together tomorrow morning.
Oh, man.
A lot to put together.
Well, let me not get in your way here.